So we had two head of cattle.
Two headed cattle?
Two head of cattle.
Oh, okay, all right. I'm like, man, I really have to check out this farm.
There you go. Very interesting farm.
Welcome to Mosaic Minds, the podcast where every episode is a colorful blend of perspectives, ideas, and conversations. Each week, our diverse team of hosts brings their unique backgrounds, experiences, and interests to the table. Mosaic Minds is your invitation to join the conversation to see the world through a kaleidoscope of viewpoints. So grab a seat, tune in, and let the mosaic unfold before you.
Welcome to Mosaic Minds. I'm Nick, and to my right here is the first lady of our podcast. This is Crystal. And then straight ahead, straight in front of me is Jason Yoakum. And I think he's the only one I just gave their last name, just in full transparency, Williams Robertson. Today we're going to be interviewing Jason Yoakum. Jason, tell us a little bit about yourself.
First off, glad to be here. Glad to be back in the broadcasting game after some years. So married, live in central Indiana, like to play sports, and like to stay competitive. So that's the basis of most of the questions I'm going to answer for you today.
Okay. Tell us a little, well, you also have a business. So tell us a little bit about your lure business that you have.
I do. So Boeing Lures is a fishing lure company. It's a low and a high pitch frequency sounding lure. It's kind of got a built-in sonar, if you will, on the water. Got to travel all over the country, talk about it, meet some fishermen and women all over the country. And it's been a nice initiative to have.
Do you fish with them yourself?
I do. Love to fish with them. First thing in the morning till about lunchtime every tournament.
That's sweet.
If I can.
Nice. All right. Well, okay. So I just kind of random, but I believe you said that you'd won some kind of a national. I'm pretty sure you told me at work you won some kind of national Tetris tournament at some point. So what happened with that? Tell me about that.
Kind of launched the initiative when I was younger, liking to play. Me and my dad would play on a PC computer. This particular tournament, there was 125,000 people in it, competed a Friday night to a Sunday night. So about a 72-hour tournament, and did very well. Actually won the tournament, acquired more points than anybody else, spent a lot of hours playing, and opened up some levels that the typical player wouldn't normally see.
So when you are playing in the tournaments, is there a special strategy that you adhere to?
I do. The strategy is that's a great question. So you can either do one of two things. So you can build it up to where you have many Tetrises, which is four lines with one move built up, or you can rapid fire people. So I personally like to rapid fire people.
I just have a boss that liked to rapid fire people.
Nice.
All right. So you're obviously you're big sports guy, big basketball guy. As a child, what age were you first introduced to basketball? Because I know that's been kind of a core of your life growing up.
I get cold chills talking about this in northern Indiana, but on a barn, dad put up his first goal that was about 4 feet high on the side of a barn in grass at about 2.5 to 3 years old. So I can remember that was one of my finest moments as a child, is taking my first shots on my own, I owned it goal.
Cool. Right on. So didn't you say something about it was on a farm, or you were telling me it was on a farm, or?
Yeah, so it was a farm, but we wouldn't consider ourselves farmers, right? So we had two head of cattle.
Two headed cattle?
Two head of cattle.
Oh, okay, like, all right. I'm like, man, I really have to check out this farm.
There you go. Very interesting farm. But we had two head of cattle. We had a potato patch that we had. We had pheasants, ducks, chickens, geese, turkeys. I'll stop there. Some farm cats. And just really enjoyed playing, being outside, being with the animals, playing basketball. And in northern Indiana, it's kind of a way of life.
Did you eat any of these animals? Not the cats.
We did. The most general story I'm going to give you is I had a cow that I really liked. His name was Justin. And I came home one day from school, and Justin wasn't there in the pasture anymore. And years later, I found out that we were served with some healthy farm-raised beef.
Well, when you said cat first, I almost had a heart attack. So.
I know. I was like, what? Poor Justin.
Different species, right?
I love that there's a cow named Justin, though. How cool is that?
Right?
Yeah, this is Bessie. No, it's not. It's Justin.
If you saw me today, I'm always relaxed. I've always got like sports clothes on and sweatpants and gym attire, but I had corduroy pants and a cowboy boot, you know, the interesting belt buckle and stuff like that. So that was interesting. Nice. Growing up like that.
Yeah, when, at school we called those nut huggers. Those farmer jeans.
There you go.
So did your other animals have, like, regular people names? Like Benjamin and...
My sister had a cat that was named Truman Capote. I thought that was interesting.
Okay. Well, I know you're, besides sports, I know that you're overall a really competitive guy. You know, I see it at work all the time. So being a competitive guy, describe how you like to compete and operate when it comes to sports. What does that look like?
I think work is the format that I'll speak on first. So at work, it's gaining the knowledge of the professionals that are in your position, appreciating that the demographics are different, the people are different, the face of the teams are different. However, you're still competing for X metrics and really taking pride in your craft, getting better, honing your skills, and always just wanting to succeed and let other people succeed with you. So it's more of a we focus than it is an I focus. And that helps us grow as a campus. It galvanizes the team, and quite frankly, it allows us to compete on a national level.
Cool. Yeah, I get the competitive thing. I both said I'd never do a job that I couldn't at least have the potential to be the best at. You know, like if I knew there's no way I could ever reach that, I would lose interest.
Us working together, you know, you do great on that side, and you'll get to talk on it in your segment, but it's just nice having someone else that's competitive and you know, all three of us are competitive in the fields we have. We all want to succeed, and we all want to get first place. But what I understand is we all want to have integrity when we get first place. You know,
yep.
You can be in second place as long as you do it with goodwill and intention.
Well, it sounds like you're a talented guy. What kind of talents do you wish that you had that you don't?
Ironically, the two talents that our co-guest here will talk a little bit about. First one I'm going to strive for is artistic ability. I draw, you know, I'm mid-40s, but I draw like a second or a third grader. I'm a stick figure type guy, have no artistic talent. But when I see the color and the line work and the tattoo work specifically, or I see a real ancient drawing or a sketch, I just really wish I had that talent. But you could literally do a color by number and I'd somehow mess it up. I'm just atrocious at it, but I appreciate that. And then on the music side, it's not an eye-hand coordination thing because sports is a natural balance of that, but it's more of a the singing and the playing of a guitar or vice versa or any instrument for that matter. I'm just not overly proficient at it, nor would I really learn, just because I would want to be very good very quickly, and I know that can be hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely takes some time. Is it the coordination thing? Like, is it the, because I mean, being in sports, I would think that being able to sing and play the guitar at the same time.
It's kind of an overload. I would liken it to a 3-pointer or a free throw when everybody's watching and you got to make that last free throw just in 30 seconds to answer that question. But I'm going to look for the hole in the ground, right, that the janitor has put a nail hole in the middle. I'm going to find that big toe. I'm going to put it right on the line. I'm going to take 3 dribbles. I'm going to take a deep breath. And I'm going to shoot with ice water veins and make that shot. When you're looking at guitar riffs, in my opinion, there's certain bands that have easy riffs. There's bands that have very complex riffs. It would be very hard to be diversified because I'm just the type of guy that can memorize one thing, muscle memory it, and go, as opposed to having to learn many styles and dictations along the music spectrum.
Who was your favorite band growing up? Or artist?
If I could, I'm going to answer that a little differently. I'm a Woodstock era guy. If I could go back to that era of music, I think that era of music is phenomenal. Childhood, I listened to a lot of like Green Day, Smashing Pumpkins, Metallica, White Zombie was kind of my 4 most recognizable bands.
But you like Jimi Hendrix and the Grateful Dead and like that kind of?
Absolutely. Richie Havens, Jefferson Airplane. I just like that. I like that era of music when it was just about singing an expression as opposed to like commercializing it and kind of butchering the sound down.
Right.
So Jason, who would you say has made the biggest impact in your life?
Let me think about that for just a second. So I think my mom and my dad, the career aspect that I'm going to give you is in our family, we have approximately 80, 85, maybe as many 90 years just off the top of my head in some form of administration on a high school or college level. So when I was 6 years old, I was in my dad's classroom helping go through some stuff, trying to be the best mentor I could for some of the children that he taught, along with mom as well. She taught on the adult level. My sister teaches primarily on the high school level, and then I've done primarily the college level. So the biggest influence professionally for me was them, watching them get up every day, putting the armor on, seeing the best in people, wanting to see people succeed, and then being at the grocery store and having your last name called across aisle 13 when you're, you know, picking up something for the Super Bowl.
Now he taught
just going like that.
He taught special education, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
At a high school level, mom was more the adult level, so she was teaching life skills like how to pay bills, how to operate day to day, and kind of be a normal member out in the local Kroger's. You know, be able to make change and kind of operate day to day.
Like almost like a home ec kind of.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. Yep.
Well, you mentioned that you played a lot of sports with your dad as a kid. What sports specifically did you play with him when you were growing up?
Very good question. So the list of sports I didn't play with him would probably be shorter than the list of sports I did play with him. But I was blessed because dad was a high school golf coach, so I was always playing golf. We had access to tennis courts, so I played a lot of tennis. I played baseball for a team. I played basketball for a team. He would take his children and some family members and friends skiing in the winters. I didn't personally play football, but I spent a lot of time on the football fields watching him coach and going to the varsity practices. We used to play ping pong a lot together. I'll stop there. There was just a lot of interesting games. Then in the winter, we would take the games inside with some broken windows and stuff that mom always kind of got upset about. But it was interesting. Sports has always been a big part of my life.
Now, who won? Did you usually kick his ass, or did he kick your ass? Or did it kinda...
I think when I was 13 or 14, I could consistently beat him, and I never turned back. But up until that time, he was a very good athlete. He played full-court basketball into his low 50s, which I don't see how he does it because I'm 45 and can barely jog up and down a court because I've been pretty hard on my body. But he was my inspiration to keep doing what I do today and stay competitive and be in the sports environment.
Did you guys talk trash?
Oh, we did. We did. He was the funny trash talker. I'm the funny trash talker. I'm not going to say anything that's inappropriate, but I'm going to say stuff to get you to think, did he really just say that to me and mess up for a couple minutes on your end?
So. Well, you have thicker skin than I do, because that's why I stopped playing video games with my kids. You know, like they'd be like, Dad, you're trash. You know what I mean? You're trash.
Kids these today are ruthless. I will say that.
Were you as high energy as a child as you are now?
Nick, you can appreciate this, but you only see about 20% of my energy, to be honest with you. And I think that's a statement. The specific story I'll give you is I remember like it was yesterday. I would run around and just cause trouble outside, and mom would literally come to the front and say, we got some brownies inside. Mom was great at making brownies, but one out of two or three times she didn't make brownies. That was just her way to get me inside, wash up for the night.
Oh, that's so mean.
And trick me to bring me inside. So I always remember that. And I remember when I used to get in trouble, she'd send me out to run sprints around the house 4 to 6 times, you know, run out to the mailbox and back to get the mail just to wear me out enough. And I've continued to have that type of energy really the rest of my life.
Is that why you have such a fear of loss when it comes to brownies?
Oh yeah, I can put down some brownies. I could put down, you know, a half plate or so to this day because of it.
So you just got back, what was it, yesterday from a fishing tournament?
Yeah.
So in Alabama, is that right?
Yeah, that's another one of my hobbies. Fishing to me is serenity. It's serenity. It's seeing bald eagles. It's seeing parts of the country you don't need to see. It's seeing a Buc-ee's truck stop that everybody likes to stop by and just kind of enjoy and laugh and see people. Yeah, so this weekend I left work on a Friday. We drove about 9 hours to, I don't know what part of Alabama, but I'll say Gunnersville, kind of the mecca of fishing in the South, in my opinion. Slept in a truck for about an hour and a half after driving 9 hours. Fished for 9 hours, drove home, got home about 2:30 last night, got some sleep, and if we weren't doing something cool, which is what we're doing today with the podcast, I wouldn't be up moving around. I'd be sleeping. So this is how important it is to me to be.
I appreciate you gracing us with your presence. You know, noted.
Vice versa, I wouldn't be here without you guys. You guys are awesome, awesome to work with.
How often do you go to these tournaments? Because I know you go pretty often. You go like all year, or
I try to. We call it stealing time or chasing the sun. I try to go to the South for this year. Was my first tournament, the earliest in the year, and then I'll fish all the way after Thanksgiving. So I'll fish about 10 and a half months this year.
Okay. What is it about fishing? Why are you so passionate about it, I guess?
That's a great question for a podcast. The reason I like that question is because I cannot fix anything. The wife knows it. The reason I fish is because I can be somewhat mechanical. I can take apart my equipment. I can put it back together. I can reline it. I can think about the conditions I have. You know, we're looking at your house and your infrastructure here, and I couldn't hang those photos. I can't square anything off. I can't do any carpentry. I can't do any painting. I'll stop there because my wife would laugh at me, but she knows that I'll work hard all day, but I'm not going to do a lot of perfectionist stuff. So the reason I fish is just to feel like a man's man for a couple hours, you know.
So there's probably a lot of stuff to it, a lot of stuff to it, but you, it comes down to you're really good at it, and that's why you like it.
Really good's a relative term. I got stuff to learn, but I'm definitely far from a beginner, but I'm far from being the best I can be in my sport. But I compete, I get after it. I'm refreshed on a Monday, and I really enjoy, you know, being out on the water and being there with the camaraderie of the other guys and ladies that fish.
What do these tournaments look like? Like, what is a day in the life of?
Being around sports my whole life and competition, there's nothing like fishing. When you have 450 men and women in an area about the size of 2 or 3 football fields that are all cruising around in the boat, talking trash, drinking coffee, standing for the national anthem, and then I'll call it a redneck, but it's a redneck adventure. You know, we're boat number 156, and I would tell you 120 boats that went down the same path we're going on, and you're driving 70 mile an hour, dodging waves, dodging boats, dodging traffic, cutting in front of people, racing people across that water. You know, you're almost frazzled by the time you get to your first spot, so that's kind of what it looks like.
How do you dodge a wave?
Sounds like a good time, though.
It does. You kind of dodge the waves because you don't want to spear them. I'm not the boat. Just to put it into perspective, I'm not the guy driving the boat. I'm the guy that looks over at you if you were driving the boat. And I said, I hope Nick's a safe driver because I got to ride with him all day.
Gotcha. So you're falling out?
I'm a co-angler. I haven't fallen out, but I've been thrown off a seat probably 18 inches, and I had to hold on with all my, you know, strength to stay in the boat.
That'd be a painful landing.
It can get interesting. My spine's been you know, compromised a couple times, you know, I had to snap it back in place or whatever. But
I think I'll pass on doing any of that.
you had to snap? Like, you snapped?
Well, like, you know, like a chiropractor.
Chiropractor. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Snap was probably the wrong term.
What is it?
Crack would have been a better term.
Is it lethal?
Crack
it back in. Lethal Weapon, where he, like, his arm falls out of socket and he's always, like, hitting
that's
it on something.
That's what I'm picturing with his spine.
I wasn't like the cop from Terminator, you know, holding onto the back window, you know, trying to stay on and bolt myself to the seat again or whatever. But
Keep fishing.
Little bit of pain on the way to the first spot. So
cool. All right. Well, so this is, I don't think this is something that we'd talked about earlier, but you have, just knowing you from work, you know, we've known each other for over a good year now, a year and a half, something like that, right? So you have this amazing ability I went and played pickleball with you, and just knowing that we can go anywhere and you talk to anybody, but you can talk to anybody, and you're one of the best networkers I've ever met. So what would you say is your secret behind that? Like, what is it? Do you just really love people, or like, you know, what's your secret behind being able to talk to anybody, Joe Schmo sitting next to you?
The reason that I came on Mosaic Minds is because the general backgrounds that we have are so unique perspectives, but they all kind of mold together in the middle of the mosaic or the artwork, right? So, like, the example I'm going to give you was a young lady checked me in. I had a pickleball bag when I was traveling recently, and I forgot something. Well, she called me Mr. Pickleball on the way back, and we got laughing, and she plays. What I try to do is I take the worlds of aviation, which is my job, obviously, you know, that I take very seriously, take a lot of pride in. Then I take fishing and pickleball. So my thing is, if I'm going to talk aviation, fishing, and pickleball to you, chances are one of those three cross mosaics, if you will, with the others. The reason I enjoy talking to others is because I'm not anything special. I just so happen to have different hobbies than the two of you, for instance. So I think the reason I like talking to people is to drive the camaraderie, find out what drives them, find out what makes them an excellent person, and not judging anybody, regardless if you're on ESPN or throwing worms in the local park. Everybody's the same within the sports and activities that they like. And I just want to see the best in other people. I'm just a very driven, motivational person and like to see the best in others and have them get in front of activities and avenues that they wouldn't normally pursue.
So what I'm hearing is you're curious. It's like it's your curiosity. You just like to know about, because I mean, I like people too in general, you know, like in small portions. But I mean, it just depends on my mood. And that's why, you know, I know we've talked about this before, but you being the director of admissions, is why I couldn't do admissions, because there's too many days where, you know, like I couldn't be on it, because you got to be on it all the time. You know, you got to always be a people person, and I'm just not always that way.
Being a director, you have to use some humor, and you can't ride a roller coaster. You got to be just, you know, upbeat, wanting to see people. But it's great to have that hard conversation with somebody, which is, hey, you're messing up a little bit, man. You got to get back rocking in the same way, because you're here for a specific reason, to get out and get employed in the industry, you know, booming industry in the sports world. You're kind of looking for that guy that maybe needs to hear something to keep his athletic life alive. And that's what I had to do. You know, when I stopped playing basketball late 30s, I had to find other activities to keep my mind sharp and moving, stay competitive. And that's what I've done with the activities that we'll talk about and get to learn a little bit out over the next weeks, months, years of the podcast.
Are you a people person, Crystal?
Yes.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah.
So you can just go and go and go and you're fine. Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
Like, I like to be alone. So, like, after being around people for a long time, I like to be alone and, like, decompress. But I'm good with being around people all day.
Okay.
As long as they're good people, you know.
I could almost
very be. Very well set on the good people.
Yeah.
I could almost be a hermit. Like, I could just, you know, like. I say that, but, like, when COVID was happening and I had to work from home for a year, I didn't realize until I had to go back to the office that how much social skills I'd lost.
It's damaging.
Like, I was like,
I found myself being weird with people because, like, I was home so long. I've, like, it's like you forget how to communicate.
Yeah, totally. You totally do. It's weird. And I don't want to lose that, even if I don't like people. No, I do. Right. I do, for the most part. I like people.
We have heard different talents that you have with sports and networking, but what is, like, something quirky or different, a talent that you have that most people wouldn't know that you have?
Ironically, so I took broadcasting in school and I took business administration in school. So ironically, an instructor of the business administration school said that I should go out on the motivational speaking trails, and voiceover work are my two hidden talents and quirky. So, like, I won't do it now. I'll save it for a later time, but I can do some interesting impersonations. The reason I'm going to say this, though, is because I was the go-to person in high school that if anybody was having a bad day, I was the guy to cheer that person up. Man, woman, old, young, it doesn't matter. I'll say anything at any time to anyone and keep a dead straight face, but more importantly, I can make that person laugh and come out of their shell. If they were depressed, at least they laughed for 5 minutes and then they went back to that depression. So that's my quirkiness. But that's also seeing the best in people. I don't want to see anybody down.
I can attest to that, because he'll come in and tell the driest joke with a straight face.
The one I like to lose is, when you're this lame, you got to come up with new material. So you're always looking for ways, angles, you know, names that sound familiar or you know, pronunciations that are spelled the same in things.
And we're not even talking about, like, dad jokes. We're talking about, like, can you think of an example of, I can't think of one off the top of my head.
I had a boss with really dry humor, and, like, 90% of the people did not get his jokes, but I always thought it was funny.
I call him deadpan humor. If you look it up, everybody knows what that is. And then my mom was big on puns. So, like, a play on words would be an example. Mm-hmm. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
I'm trying to think of one, because, man.
Like, one that would come to the top of my head would be, like, Main Street. Like, you know, the main street in town. You know, like, everybody knows that that's the main street, right? But why would you say it's, you know what I mean? That would be an example.
Why would you call it Main Street?
Because it's the main one in town.
Okay.
That's where everything goes.
No, I mean, town centers. No, I was saying, I was agreeing. So why would...
Oh, yeah. So what you're saying is you're using humor and I missed it. So good job on that. Good work.
One thing I just thought of that you didn't mention that's definitely a talent of yours is your ability to do extremely fast math. I'll be talking about something, you're like, oh yeah, well, you know what, the percentage of that happening is 27.7%, you know.
At work, we always got to be around percentages. We got to know our gross net packs. Away from work, you know, you always got to know the percentage, you know. Percentages came to me ironically because my dad would have paper and plastic coins that he used in his classroom setting. And he would say, like, $30.68. Count that as soon as you can. The way that I'm good at that was baseball cards, and that was, in other words, you got to count that $20 bill, the $10 bill, the ones, and all the coins in rapid fire succession. And if you mess it up, Dad would take the whole counting that I had done up to that point, take it away, and make me start over. So not only do I have to be accurate and a perfectionist, I have to be quick. Like, you know, 15 out of 45 is 33.3% would be an example. You know,
yes,
you got to know that.
Right.
So what I always do is I take, like, if you took the next number that's close to that, and then I already know that math, and it's quick math on the other. Because I take a lot of pride in meetings and numbers that I can get the answer for you quicker than the calculator. The calculator is going to tell you the exact answer, but if I can get within 1 or 2 percentage points, it ensures and instills in you confidence in me that I know the numbers, I know how to quickly figure them, and then that way, if you ever get asked, obviously you can spit those back at somebody.
Well, that can definitely turn off some of your skill when you're using a calculator. That's what's happened to me. Like, using a calculator all the time, I can't do quick math anymore. So I know that everybody gives you crap at work about not being tech savvy and all that, but I'm sure there's some benefit to that because you're still using your brain.
Hearing that. I've been told out of the 5 people in my department, I'm in the top 5 in technology. Sometimes I've been 6th or 7th on a 5-person department, but I consider myself to be medium tech. Some people are going to think low, but at the end of the day, I leverage it. There's workarounds, but I try to improve. I'm not a dinosaur. I just don't play the tech game because I can never keep up. And then right when I've kept up, something else is new. So that's kind of the real reason.
Yeah, it evolves so quickly.
Yep.
Where can we find you? Like, what's some of your social media? Your business website, stuff like that. And we'll put all this in the show notes. But like, where can people find you?
So you can find me downtown or at a sporting event near you. No,
so it's come see me in person.
You can typically find me on Instagram, Facebook under Boing Lures. Obviously, at the school, come out and look at the hangar at any time if you're ever in the Indianapolis area. And then Condor Pickleball on Facebook and Instagram. Pretty easy to find. Like to network. If you've got any networking opportunities that could help the two of us, I would encourage you to do it. And just really happy. I mean, this is I had this day marked on the calendar ever since we talked about it. We got two awesome guests that are going to get to do the same thing, and I'm just glad to be a small part of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, thanks for agreeing to let us, you know, beat you up a little bit.
Sounds like a winner. I just got to have boxing gloves next time, right?
That's right.
All righty.
You always yell me.
All right. Take 4.
I hope that you've enjoyed this episode of Mosaic Minds. If you have, and you can do us a favor, and if you are watching, go ahead and click on subscribe and like the episode, and then click on the bell just so you get notifications anytime we post. Although we are posting episodes every Tuesday at 5 a.m., and if you're listening to this on an audio platform in the form of a podcast, if you could give us a 5-star review and just leave a little bit of writing after, it helps us out a whole lot. Thanks for watching or listening, and we will see you next time.